Marley Watson, First Person Dramatic Fiction.
Sometimes I stand outside his room when he and Heather are hanging out and listen to them gossip, laugh, be goofy. A few times on weekends, I've sat reading by the front door, thinking they might ask me to go with them on one of their zoo trips or after running pancake extravaganzas. But they never do. Halfway down the hallway, Noah abruptly stops talking mid-sentence and puts the phone back into his pocket. Wait. So he faked the call and was pretend talking to no one just to get away from me? Just to stop me blathering on like that? My throat constricts. We're never going to be okay. We're never going to be us again. I walk over to the window, flip the shade so I can see the ocean. I stare it down. There are times when surfing, where you'll take on a wave only to realize the bottom's dropped out of it. And so suddenly, without warning, you're free-falling down the entire face. It feels like this.
First Person Comedic Magical Realism.
It was one of those thunderstorms came on sudden-like. Before a body could cover its head, it had passed on someplace else. Here, in our holler, we were used to such storms. We liked the surprise of them, usually. Liked how some clouds seemed to gather up heavy water already in the air and wring it back out again. What was different about this storm, that first one late June, was what it left in its wake. We mistook the baby squalling for outside noise for a stretch. Then Mama left supper going on the stove, fed up she was with the racket, to shoo whatever creature it was away. But when she got to the corner of the yard, broom clutched in hand, she saw the naked, wriggling pink thing there in the black dirt. Well, what was one more mouth to feed? Accustomed we were to sharing every scrap, every bit.
Fiction, dialogue.
So, what do you have against hospitals?
My daddy doesn't like them.
Where is he?
She selects another pancake with her uninjured hand.
Marlowe hasn't found him yet, then, he says. And you're afraid that if Child Protective Services gets wind of that, they'll take you away.
She has nothing to say. There's a little too much peanut butter on her pancake, and it's giving her trouble. She chews mightily.
Maybe they should take you away.
You don't think that, she says, after a heroic swallow.
No, he says. I think that the system is probably completely screwed and Kafkaesque. I think you don't want to be part of it.
But I do think you need a doctor.
No doctors, she says. If I don't trust you to make your own decisions, I don't know who I would trust. But please, Turtle, let's go to the hospital.
No.
I'm begging you.
She is silent.
Begging?
There is nothing to say.
The sum total of all your trust in me. Does that prevail on you at all?
She says nothing. He could have hurt you badly.
You don't know what the hell you're talking about. He doesn't want to hurt me. He loves me more than life itself. He's not a perfect person sometimes. Sometimes he's not the person he wants to be. But he loves me more than anybody else has ever been loved. I think that counts for everything.
Nonfiction.
The scientist had forgotten all about the radium. It was tucked discreetly within the folds of his waistcoat pocket, enclosed in a slim glass tube in such a small quantity that he could not feel its weight. He had a lecture to deliver in London, England, and the vial of radium stayed within that shadowy pocket for the entirety of his journey across the sea. He was one of the few people in the world to possess it. Discovered by Marie and Pierre Curie late in December 1898, radium was so difficult to extract from its source that there were only a few grams available anywhere in the world. He was fortunate indeed to have been given a tiny quantity by the Curies to use in his lectures,
for they barely had enough themselves to continue experiments. Yet this constraint did not affect the Curie's progress. Every day they discovered something new about their element. It made an impression on photographic plates through black paper, the Curie's daughter later wrote. It corroded, and little by little, reduced to powder the paper or the cotton wool in which it was wrapped. What could it not do? Marie called it my beautiful radium. And it truly was. Deep in the dark pocket of the scientist, the radium broke the gloom with an unending, eerie glow.